All right, not going to say it. Nobody should. Somebody should. Talk about Tool time. Talk about bum wine, yeah. Da na 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 na. Na 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 na. Welcome. Welcome to another car episode. Update. Poonmaster Flex is going back to Oregon. She had some job interviews. And we moved. First thing, I was thinking, so we have a little theme song that plays on this show. I don't know if we have new listeners. I was thinking, like, do some updating for new listeners. What does it all mean? Not gonna say it, somebody should. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Exactly. I guess, not gonna say it, but somebody should. I don't know what that means. I got that theme song done on Fiverr and sent some things. Just like, here's a big list of things that we've done on the show. And so just, you know, whatever. Do whatever with those things. So that's got to be something of like, I don't know, say things you shouldn't say, but I'm not going to say that. Whatever. Let's talk about Tool time. We talked about home improvement, I guess, on this show, and Tool time. I don't know why. Something to talk about, right? I do dislike when people call that show Tool Time. Because, like, no, Tool Time is the fictional show on the show. I wonder how that show's going to age, because it doesn't seem like that kind of show is really a show anymore. Where, like, Bob Vila, what was that, This Old House? Was that Bob Vila? It seems like that's not a show anymore. Because I think that's been replaced by, like, just some fucking crazy old man on YouTube. If you want to know how to do anything that's, like, carpentry or, like, I don't know, you're like, I want to make my own wooden jigsaw puzzle. Or you want to know how to do bookbinding, okay? Because this is something that I looked up recently. You want to know how to fix a fucking very specific type of typewriter? I don't like variety of typewriter. You got a typewriter from the Goodwill online store and you want to know how to fix it? Let's just say, guess what? There's a fucking old man on YouTube who's got an hour-long video that you can watch and he'll teach you how. You want to remove a valve gasket on your car, on your 2000 Corolla? Guess what? There's some old man on YouTube who's done it. And he's filmed himself. He's done it very poorly, but he has done the service of filming himself. And a lot of assholes will complain about, you know, oh, why didn't you film this? Which I'm like, I was thinking that. I'm not going to say it, but somebody should. Because you're like, yeah, I mean, you should just, you filmed an hour of shit. Why not film an hour and 15 minutes that shows you putting the goddamn thing back together? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Oh my god, I'm blinded. Okay. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, hey, asshole, this old man did this for no fucking reason. Seems for free. There's a little ad that pops up at the bottom for, like, Full Sail University that you just click the X on. It doesn't even prevent you from watching the video. I'm 99% sure that this old man does not have it hooked up to, like, monetize. And even if he does, it's been viewed 3,000 times, one like, zero dislikes. Anyway, that's how you do that now. I did see there's like a 60-minute bookbinding video. I built my own little bookbinding machine, or press, I should call it, not really a machine. And then, anyway, I found an old man who's like, I'll show you over the course of an hour how to bind a book. And you're like, yeah, I don't know why anyone would want to do this but me. But it turns out it's not just me. It's me and some old weirdo who wants to do this, which doesn't make me feel a lot better. But what are you going to do? When these are your hobbies, your habits, you've only got so much leeway. Let's talk about bum wine. We did an episode where we sampled a few what are called bum wines. There used to be a website, I think it was bumwines.com that was like, you know, fortified wines and shit like that. Like Night Train and your Thunderbirds and things like that. So we sampled a bunch of those one time. There's one called Cisco that supposedly had like hallucinogenic properties or something. This was all very dubious. Every claim on this website. I know that the website bumwines.com sounds very official, but everything on here seemed kind of dubious. Although, like, if someone was marketing a hallucinogen, I feel like the best way to get away with it would be to market it as, like, a really cheap, shitty bum wine. I think we were also talking about bum wines in the context of butt-chugging wine. I've never done a butt-chug. I'd like to put that on my... If I was writing a Judd Apatow-type movie about a mom who's turning 40, I would definitely... And she'd be doing her 40 before 40. And, you know, she would crowdsource it with her wacky friends. And her wacky friend, probably played by Kate McKinnon, would be like, butt-chugging. You've never butt-chugged? She's like, no. And she's like, all right, it's on the list. So there'd be like a butt-chugging scene. Which then would joke, it would be like she butt-chugged red wine and then some of it came out and there'd be some joke about it being her period or something. I don't know. Something. This is still formulating. Based on a, like, 5-year-old theme song for a podcast that has no relation to the final product. Asking the questions. Nobody should. Asking the questions. Nobody could. Something. We used to do Power Hour all the time, which was like I would line up 60 Yahoo Answers questions. I would give myself 1 minute to answer each one. Well, 1 minute to read and then answer each one. And also I would take a 1 ounce drink of beer. So then at the end it's Power Hour. So you've had 60 ounces of beer. You've answered 60 questions. Things kind of fell apart. We haven't done a Power Hour in a long time, but we should do another one. I wasn't always doing the drinking after a while because it's kind of a lot to drink. Especially because, like, I started having to... This thing is, like, flashing that I'm going too fast, but the speed limit seems to be lower. Well, anyway, I was doing it a lot on, like, Thursday nights and stuff, and I was like, boy, when I was 23 or something, it wouldn't be so bad to have 5 beers and go to work the next day. At 35, it's like I smell a beer cap and go to bed and wake up and I'm like hungover as fuck or something. I don't know what the exact right amount of beer is, but it's not the amount I'm drinking. It's probably like 1.5 or 2 consumed 3 or 4 hours before I go to sleep. Like, where are the Bone Thugs and are they in harmony? Talked a lot about Bone Thugs and harmony. There was an alternative theme song as well that was like, snow, 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 tell me what you gonna do when it ain't no matter bow. Bone Thugs and harmony. It's kind of a hilarious band. They're still touring, you guys. Did you know? I'd be very curious as far as, because I'm assuming, I'm going to make 2 assumptions about Bone Thugs. And not do the research on it, because I don't actually care. But here are the 2 assumptions I'm going to make about Bone Thugs and Harmony. Assumption number 1. The Bone Thugs and Harmony that you see live today is a little bit like seeing Lynyrd Skynyrd live, where you're like, okay, there's like 2 of the original bones, and the rest are new bones. And I wonder if they have bone names, you know, because they had like Crazy Bone, Lazy Bone, Busy Bone. I wonder if they're like Phone Bone. I just almost got sideswiped by someone who's just driving. That's just how they drive. That's prediction 1. Prediction 2 is that the Bone Thugs current iteration or current-ish iteration has probably put out a bunch of albums. And in fact, their post-popularity output probably has long ago eclipsed their... you know, don't forget my Uncle Charles, y'all days, and wake up, get up at the first of the month. So they probably would play a bunch of songs that I don't know, but also that everyone else at the show didn't know. Let's be serious. I think most people who go to see Bone Thugs, right? That seems like a show you go to because the tickets are $20 and they're playing somewhere walking distance from your house. And you're like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go. You show up 45 minutes late. You hear five or six songs you've never heard of. Then they're wrapping it up. They play the two songs you know, and you're like, all right, let's go get a taco. And that's your night. This is what we've done with our lives. Einstein would be furious. Or what's that guy? Oppenheimer, who's like so upset about making the atomic bomb, and I'd be like, dude, don't worry about it. We're just wasting our lives anyway. It's not a big fucking deal. And are they in harmony? Dee, 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 dee. And then he says the name of the show. I'm not going to explain that, because fuck off. There you go. That's a little primer. I also was going to talk about... So you remember I played it on the show and talked about it, the oral storytelling event, where I gave good oral with a local radio station and all that shit. They had, I guess they were doing another one and had someone drop out. So I just got an email today that was like, can you come and do it on this day? Can you pinch hit for us? And I was like, I would love to, but I can't. But the theme is, look what you made me do. And the comment was like the Taylor Swift song, which I wouldn't know, except I do know. Because I bought that album for Cassie. It came out a couple days before she was moving to Oregon, or maybe the day before. And I was like, oh, you should get it. And she didn't, because understandably she was doing a bunch of other shit. But so I put it on my phone, I downloaded it. It's on my telephone. And she listened to it. She only listened to it a couple times. I think if she'd been by herself, she would have listened to it like 15 times, but I was there. But yeah, anyway, it's like a Taylor Swift song that says that. And then, funny enough, that same album has a song that's like, this is why we can't have nice things. And that song was playing when we were in Cassie's apartment and flooded it because we were hooking up her washing machine and, like, didn't clamp the hose properly, so it went shooting out of the back. And basically an entire washing machine full of water dumped all over the floor. And this happened two times before we wised up and I was like, I think there's a clamp that's supposed to be here. I don't think this hose just goes in here. Turns out that was correct. So anyway, I've got some history with that Taylor Swift song. That whole album. And so I got the thing and I was like, I can't make it. And he was like, that's okay. We'll invite you next time for the Teardrops on My Guitar version. Which is another Taylor Swift song. That one I don't actually know. But I was like, I have a couple guitar stories. Like, I do have... I feel like this is a young man's thing. And maybe it's a young lady's thing, or always has been, or not. I don't know. I can't say. But I think every young man at some point has a vision of himself being a rock star who's awesome at the guitar. And, like, guitar playing is definitely... I feel a lot about guitar playing like I feel about writing. Which is, like, I think that almost anyone can learn to do it pretty well. Basically, here's the thing. Not many, like, 14-year-olds are willing to devote the time to learn how to fucking shred on the guitar. Right? And so... take the low amount of those people who are willing to do that. Now, also, subtract out the people who are just, like, cannot get along with other people or don't have enough social whatever to form a band at any point or anything like that. Take out the crazies who just get, like, real into playing, like, you know, shredding, just making albums of shredding on guitar. Who are really technically skilled guitar players, but you're like, eh, I mean, I'm sure that these guys fucking hate that AC/DC sells a billion albums, but I think there's a reason. And then you've got that small percent left, right? I think writing is the same thing. I think it's like, well, I think anyone can get good at it if they are, but you got to be willing to put in the time. You got to woodshed that shit and just write a lot of words and noodle and practice and fuck around and be motivated and copy people you like, and then eventually you get decent at it. So anyway, I think though that like it's probably the shredding on the guitar has got to be one of the most common young man fantasies, I think. I don't know why. I mean, I guess because rock star just seems like cool. Also, maybe it's like the time of your life when you start getting into music and you're like, well, I want to do that. I think I could do that. I do have this like theory about life, which is that I was trying to pitch this to someone the other day and they were not really receptive. I don't think they understood what I was saying, but I have this kind of life theory that young people are good at picking things up, like languages and stuff, and I'm sure part of it is to do with their brains and all that. But I think part of it, too, is when you're young, you're used to being not an expert at anything, right? Like, you're not good at anything. So when you're not good at speaking Spanish or something or speaking English or whatever, it doesn't really frustrate you the way it might frustrate you to not be good at that when you're older. Because you're just like, eh, fuck it. Like, I'm not good at anything. Kids kind of suck at everything. Like, they're not good. They're not even great at, like, moving their own bodies in a way that makes sense a lot of the time. So, like, of course they're not going to be good at language acquisition. Or, you know, they're not going to be good at Spanish on day one. But I think they don't, like, get down on themselves. They don't pressure themselves and whatever. So I think that, like, when you hit that, I don't know. I think that young people, that's part of why they have more ability to learn. I don't know about young people today, but I think when I was young, it was a little, there was some element as well of like, you know, you had more time. I mean, you had more free time to devote to kind of whatever. I'll just put that in like a bracket. Devote to hobby X, devote to something X. You just have like a little bit more openness to that. And so, of course, I think a lot of young men have a thing where it's like, let's start a band. And then it's like, holy shit, we don't even know how to play. So I, of course, fell into this as well. Because I was like, well, this seems pretty easy. How hard could it be to play the guitar? That's like a thing, too, is you're like, well, how hard could it be? These people do it. And then you learn a harsh lesson later in life that you're like, some things are really hard. Turns out that, like, playing a guitar when you really have no musical acumen is really hard. And it's funny, too, like, talking about language, right? And, like, I had a pretty easy time with languages in school and whatever. But, like, music, I didn't get it. Wasn't my thing. In case you couldn't tell from my totally flat renditions of Taylor Swift songs. Okay, so here's how mine worked. At some point, I decided I wanted a guitar. And, like, there were a few things that... Okay, I remember when I was a little kid, and I would make Christmas lists, right? Like, here's what I want for Christmas. And there would always be a couple consistent items. Like, and I'd go through phases. So always at the top would say money and candy. And then there'd be a few items that rotated in and out. For a while, it was chainsaw. Which my mom was always like, what are you going to do with a chainsaw? And I was like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? Cut things. She's like, what? Like what? And I'm like the trees and stuff outside in the yard. And she's like, you're going to cut down the tree. And I'm like, I don't have to cut it down. I just want to cut it. I wanted basically a chainsaw from like a horror movie. Army of Darkness specifically. I think that's what I really wanted. I wanted a chainsaw that went on my arm that I could do mischief with, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I'd thought it that far out, and it was a good question for my mom to ask. Except I had enough childhood instinct to know that her question was her way of saying, like, I'm not buying you a chainsaw unless you can come up with a good thing to do with it, which I was like, touche. Well, that's kind of but like asking what I'm going to do with a chainsaw, that's like asking me, like, what are you going to do with a Nintendo Switch? And it's like, well, nothing productive, obviously, but play with it. Duh. But another one that made the list a few years in a row was guitar. It was just like money, candy, guitar. And guitar was like something that went on the list and I actually wanted for a couple years and then didn't really want, but it was just like on there. You know, you just put it on there. I don't know why. It's just, that's just how it worked. And so it was on the list. And then I remember I was poking around looking for Christmas presents because that's what you do when you're young. This was like an entertaining thing to do, is like I would look, my mom, there was like a closet, like a linen closet in our house. And I know she hid them on the very top of the linen closet for a while. And I wasn't fooled by that. She had a couple hiding spots. And I'd look in her closet, in her room, stuff like that. You know, snooping around. This is another kid thing, right? Is the snoop. And so I was a real snoop dog. D-O-double-G. So I go and I'm looking in her room, and she had a shower in her bedroom that at that time didn't work. It was inoperable. And so I see that there's something in there, and I open it up and I see a guitar and a bass guitar. Now my brother asked for a bass guitar like around the same time. I'm not sure if he asked for the bass guitar because he was into that or to be different from what I was asking for, or if he asked for a bass guitar first and I was like, I'll have a guitar. I have no idea. I don't know how that worked out. That's probably lost to the sands of time, unless Ian remembers how this went. But I open the shower and there's a guitar and a bass guitar. And I remember opening that shower door and thinking, oh, fuck. Because I didn't want a guitar at that point. And I was like, oh, my God. My mom has bought me this impossibly expensive Christmas present. And, boy, was that a mistake. Why did I ask for this? Now, and I was like, holy shit. And I was like, I'm glad I found it, though. Okay, on the one hand, I'm not glad I found it, because I'm like, this is the big gift this year, for sure. Like, there's no question that that's what you're getting. Which also was like, well, don't you feel stupid? Like, you looked in the fucking... You're looking around for your gift, and then you're like, damn, I spoiled my gift for myself. But also, I was like, maybe this is a good thing, because now I'm prepared. Because I know that when I get the big gift this year, I'm going to have to pump it up a little bit. Pump up the excitement, pump up that jam, right? I'm going to have to... I know that I'm not going to be excited about it, but I'm going to have to pretend like I'm very excited about it, right? And, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, all right, maybe I can get into this and whatever. This is, like, how stupid I was when I was young, is that I was, like, in, I don't know, fifth, sixth grade, and I'm like, okay, you're going to have to get yourself excited to do something you don't really want to do. Life. Okay, so Christmas comes around, I get the guitar, I feign excitement. As far as I know, I was successful. And along with the guitars, you know, it was my mom like, okay, well, you guys can take guitar lessons. We had a guitar center in town that was like... Now, there's Guitar Center, which is like, as we know it today, if you know it, which is, it's basically a music store. They sell some guitars, keyboards, shit like that, microphones, whatever. But it's like a very typical retail environment, right? It's like going into a... It's like, you know, you've got that section in Best Buy that's got like the cameras, and so you'd have like a camera store. This was like that, but for guitars. I don't know why this sounds so weird, this explanation. I guess because, okay, that's what it's like today, right? Like, you go into this, it's a very sterile... You go into a guitar center in St. Louis, and it's pretty much the same thing as the guitar center in Denver, right? This was different. This was, like, up above a storefront, which is, like, a block from where my studio apartment was now, and is now what must be the shittiest apartment of all time. It's above a DP Dough as well, which is open till 2 a.m., and constantly smells like pizza. I always think it's funny, like, there's this big thing right now of having apartments directly above retail, which I'm like, well, okay. If you have a condo block and it's directly above retail, I like part of this, which is, like, most of the time I spend at home is probably not the time retail is open. But then you get above, like, a Smashburger, and you're like, well, fuck, my apartment always smells like burgers. Which, even to me, sounds okay, but at the same time, I'm like, I bet you, though, that you get real fucking tired of it. And also, I think about, like, you know, I bet when you have the flu or something, you're like, fuck this. It's the last thing I want my apartment to smell like. Or, like, you're above a coffee shop, which sounds awesome, except then you're like, man, this fucking asshole was blasting the postal service at 5:30 a.m. when they opened the coffee store. This is bullshit. Anyway, so this was in this storefront. You walked up this extremely dangerous flight of stairs into the store. Now, the store was basically owned by this guy who had a reputation for being a huge asshole. I don't know how he earned that or how it worked, but if there was Yelp back then, this place would have, like, one star, and it would be like, the bald guy with long hair who works there is a real dickhead. He chain-smoked the entire time. The whole place, like, reeked of cigarettes. Like, I would go there for a lesson and come home and have to change clothes, because it was like, you stink so fucking bad. So I went and I took guitar lessons from a guy who seemed, like, old and was probably, like, 25. But here's what I'll give him. Because, like, so my mom's boyfriend at the time played some guitar and, like, knew a little bit. And so when I came home, he's like, what chords and stuff did he teach you? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know, G, C, open, whatever. And I was like... No, so I would go to the lesson and he would be like, well, what do you want to learn? And I'd be like, I don't know. And he's like, all right, bring a CD next time with songs on it that you want to learn. And I'll bring them. I'll learn how to play them and then show you how to play them. And then we'll do that. And I was like, okay. So I brought like an Offspring CD and played. That was basically what I learned. Da, 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 na, 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 na. That was pretty much all I ever remember learning. I'm sure I learned another song, but I think by the time I was on my second song, I think the instructor was like, boy, you don't really practice, do you? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay, well, cool. It must be fucking terrible to be like a 20-something music major. And you're like, all right, I'll teach kids how to play guitar. And then you're like, so I taught this kid some stuff. And every week he comes back, he's a little bit worse. Because he has not played. And like, in the hour we spend together, he improves a lot. Which says to me that if he spent 10 minutes a day playing guitar, he would be really good. Or, like, he wouldn't be really good, but he would be improving, or at least not worse, every time he came back. But apparently, 10 minutes a day is asking a little too much of this lad. So he's fucking me over with this shit. I had, like, the same experience with piano lessons. Which is, like, I would go, I'd learn something, a song. And the teacher, Jeremy, would be like, okay, cool. And he was, I think, same deal. He must have been, like, in his 20s. a music major at UNC probably and just like teaching piano. So then I would learn something, go home, not practice for an entire week, and then come back. And he would be like, well, so you didn't, did you practice at all? And I was like, no. And he's like, I can tell. And I'm like, okay. But piano was a little different, sort of, because I didn't want to play the piano, like no part of me. I remember we went with our dad. He bought this expensive Yamaha piano that had a diskette slot. So you could put a diskette in it and record yourself playing and then play it back like a player piano. So what I did is I practiced one time, and I even smartly included like a little bit of noodling around and fooling around, because I was like, well, that's what it would sound like if I was practicing, and I'm sure nobody's going to be like, ugh, you're not really playing. And so I recorded like one half-hour practice session and then just replayed it over and over and would sneak away from the piano into the kitchen and eat fruit roll-ups while I was supposed to be playing the piano. And so, no, eating fruit roll-ups did not improve my piano playing. I don't want to besmirch the good name of whoever it is that makes fruit roll-ups, but I will say that eating fruit roll-ups doesn't improve your piano playing itself. It might not hurt your piano playing at all, but it doesn't, you won't get better at piano by not playing piano and eating fruit roll-ups sitting on the floor in the kitchen so no one can see you. So anyway, and then guitar was like the same thing, except for I supposedly wanted to learn how to play a guitar. So then at some point I got an amplifier, because I had an electric guitar, and you can't play an electric guitar without an amplifier, which is something I didn't know because I was dumb. I got a giant amplifier. I don't know how that decision was made, but it was enormous. I remember carrying it one time. I had to carry it several blocks to a friend's house and was like exhausted immediately and just thinking, I hate this. I hate every second of this. Also, I should have just been playing. Here's the amplifier I needed. Basically the size of a Walkman, with no more power to pump out sound than like an iPhone or something, because the less anyone could hear of me playing, the better. I don't think it was a good thing that people could hear me play. I don't know why, too. I would immediately, if I had a kid and they were playing the guitar, I would immediately look into what I'm sure must exist, which is like some kind of headphones that you put on and the headphone jacks into the guitar. Sorry, I'm passing a loud-ass truck right now. Headphones that basically jack into the guitar, so then I'm playing, I hear what I'm playing through the headphones, and nobody else hears what I'm playing at all. The end. It's a closed loop. I'm deafening myself, and everyone else is fine. But see, I think it'd even be controlled volume, because I'd be like, eh, this sounds horrible. So I struggled with this for a while. Then we had a friend who wanted to start a band, and so I was going to be the backup guitar. My brother was playing bass. This other guy played the lead guitar, and then we had a guy who was playing the drums, who I don't really remember. But I think we practiced, like, twice. One of the times we practiced, we were trying to play Smells Like Teen Spirit, and the guy on the drums couldn't remember how to play the drums, so he invited over this other kid we didn't really know. There were no parents or anything home at this time, so this other kid went in our kitchen, ate a bunch of fruit roll-ups. Fruit roll-ups and music really go together, I guess. And also immediately made himself a screwdriver. And then we played for like 10 minutes after he got there, and that was about it. It was weird, because this kid was like our age, but he was clearly a lot more, I don't know if I want to say mature, but it was like he came into our life, and I was like, this is like, this kid's kind of like grown up in a weird way. Because he's like, drink. It never occurred to me at that age to like, oh, mom's not here, I could drink this booze. Because I didn't even really think about it. I'd never really tried any liquor at that point, or had it occur to me to try. And so this kid came in and just kind of like whirlwinded that and like was eating fruit roll-ups and was just like, you guys have fruit roll-ups. That's funny. Because like that's for little kids. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyway, that was, I think, our only band practice. And I think I pretty much gave up the guitar after that. I sold my amplifier to someone else for $20 and a large pizza, which I don't really remember how this all went down, but I'm sure my mom must have been furious about that, because that was probably like a $150 loss or something. But I was like, I don't use this anymore. All I used it for was I was like, oh, the back of it's open. You can push it up against the wall and like hide something in the back. But I had nothing to hide. Because I wasn't, like, boozing or weeding or anything. I don't know. I was a weirdly innocent child that way, I guess. I remember one time a sibling, who will go unnamed, we were at our dad's house, and he had built this house out by the bowling alley. And so he and a friend were there, and they were going to smoke weed in his bedroom. So they needed to construct a bong, and they cut a hole in the screen, the window screen, to use that screen in the bong. And then he smoked and he was maybe high or something. And so I like left the house because I was like, I'm not going to be a part of this. Just say no, right, guys? Great, dare, etc. And so then he came to the bowling alley and I guess he was stoned. And I was trying to tell if he was different. I was like, what does it feel like? I asked him 1,000 questions. I'm sure whatever high he may have had, which probably wasn't much, was completely ruined because I was like, yeah, but what is it like? What does it feel like in your brain? Can you feel it in your brain? That was pretty much the end of that reign of guitar. Okay, here's something that annoys me about the guitar. How come nobody's invented a guitar yet that, like, tunes itself? Like, tuning the guitar is so fucking annoying and such a waste of time. I'm sure, like, once you get good at guitar, too, it takes, like, no time. Like, you can just pick up a guitar and be like, ah, shit, and fix it. But, like, when I was a kid, I couldn't tell, so I just sat there for hours being like, you know, like... Oh, I hated it. So then, I don't think I touched a guitar for like a good 10 years, maybe a little less. And then, I don't know why, but I decided, like, I'm going to learn how to play things on the guitar. I think I could do this. This was probably in a bored/lonely period of life. And I was like, because I think this was like late-ish college, maybe. So I spent the... $100-$200 on an acoustic guitar because I was like, well, this will be easier. I don't have to buy an amp. And tried to learn a few, like, Death Cab for Cutie songs. It sucked. I suck at the guitar, you guys. Didn't practice nearly enough, but I sucked. And then at some point, I gave up the guitar. Not too long after. I mean, here's the cycle. Got the guitar, real excited about the guitar. Probably played it every day for like a week because I was like, yeah, man, you're going to get better at this. Got tabs off the internet, which I printed. If you don't know what tabs are like guitar music for dumb people, where it just basically shows you where your fingers should be to play each note. But the other problem with tabs is that, like, at that time, I'm sure it's different now, but in the early 2000s, you could get tabs for any song, but they were just like crowdsourced by some rando, so they were never quite right. Like, there was always notes missing or something. Or sometimes it felt like, because I was like, okay, how hard is it to write tabs for a song that's like, down, 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 and that's the whole song. Like, I would think that if you knew, it would be pretty easy, if you were into that shit. But you'd get it, and there'd be, like, notes missing, or sometimes people were, like, adding their own little flair to the song, and I was like, oh, fuck off! Nobody's gonna be like, Butterfly 420 on ultimatetabs.com. This is the next thing in music. They took a Death Cab song and added one fucking note. Or they tweaked one note. Oh my god, that's musical genius. Like, that's not gonna happen. Let it go, assholes. But they didn't. And I'm sure you can find tabs for Let It Go. Let It Snow. So I did that. I monkeyed with that for a while. But I got immediately frustrated because I could tell. I was like, well, not only is my ability to move my fingers around very slow. So tabs, what they do, it's like you've got your six guitar strings. Got my first real six string. And then it would put a little circle like where you were supposed to put your finger to make note one, note two, note three, and so on. Now, it must have taken a huge amount of time for people to do this, so it's kind of like I was just talking about that old man who makes the woodshop video that people complain about, so I'm complaining about these tabs that are like 90% correct and probably took forever to make on the internet, because back then I think they did them with like six lines of dashes and then like a zero where your finger was supposed to be. But regardless, tabs were basically a way to show you how to play a note by, imagine if it was like, all right, note number one, I'm going to watch someone play it in slow motion and just put my fingers in the same spot on the guitar. And then they'll do note number two and put their fingers in the same spot and so on. Instead of like C, G, A, C, G, A, B, whatever. So I gave up on that. And then I had this guitar sitting around for a while because while I had given up on it, I don't think I had totally given up on it, because hope dies last, right? But at some point I was like, all right, you know what, Pete? Guitar is not going to be your thing. I was probably in like my mid-20s, and I think at some point around there you start to be like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be good at basketball. And like when basketball situations come up, I'll probably abstain, right? Because that's just who I am. And guitar was kind of the same, where I was like, you know, Pete, I don't think you're going to make friends and influence people with your guitar. While your guitar gently weeps, it will do so alone in the closet. So I decided to sell my guitar on Craigslist. And on an early episode of the show, I talked about the saga of selling things on Craigslist. I've had some very good experiences selling things on Craigslist. I had these two crappy armchairs that I traded in for a couch, and unbelievably, this guy came like from Loveland, half hour away, to squeeze these shitty old armchairs into a two-door Saturn, which he did by destroying the dome light in his car, which he didn't seem to care about. And then he paid me like $10 for the privilege. Another time, I sold... my old apartment, I had tons of bricks and cinder blocks that I turned into shelving, as one is wont to do when you're in college. And, I mean, this was a lot of bricks and a lot of planks and stuff. And so I just put them up on Craigslist when I was moving out, and I was like, hey, if you come get them, they're yours. It probably took me an hour and a half to move all this shit, these bricks. And the bricks I used weren't cinder blocks. They were solid bricks that were as wide as a cinder block, but not as less depth. It's like if you put three bricks on top of each other, that's about the size of these bricks. Heavy as fuck is point number one. Point number two, there's no like hole, there's no good grip on them. So anyway, someone was like, I will come and get them. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to stack them in the parking lot of my apartment. Just come grab them. And, but I was like, but please come get them because my landlord is not going to be happy if those are out there. And they were like, okay. And they did. They fucking came and got them. My old couch, I got rid of that for free. This family just came and they're like, oh yeah, we'll take it. And they hustled it out the door. It was a complete, what do you call that, sectional? In two big-ass pieces that had the leg extension things, you know, that old men like that you sit in. Came and got that for free. So for the most part, I've had good experiences selling on Craigslist. This guitar, however, I had, like, one guy messaging me about, like, when can he come over and take a look at it? And I was like, I mean, here are some times that I can do it. And he's like, well, I'm only available on Saturdays or something. And I was like, well, fuck yourself then. Also, I was selling it very cheap. I probably paid, like, $150, $200, and I was selling it for $40 or $60. So it was not, like, a lot. And I had actual pictures on there. Oh, by the way, when I sold those two chairs, my post got flagged because what I did is I was like, I put up an ad that showed the two chairs, and I pulled up a picture of like a bikini model on my computer and set the computer on the chairs and then took a picture, and I put something in the ad like, you want to get hot babes? You'll need these chairs. Come get these chairs. And someone flagged it as inappropriate, and I was like, that's bullshit. That's fun. Also, there was, like, no nudity. It was a very, like, the bikini model, when I say bikini model, this was, like, a poster that a 13-year-old boy would have of, what's that fucking lady's name? Lady who's on all the, Heidi Klum. Let's just say a boy and not talk about who had that on the ceiling in their bedroom. And didn't realize why it was weird to have a poster on the ceiling. Didn't realize that that meant people were jerking off while looking at it in bed and for several years. Just seemed like a convenient place to me. So then I go back and forth with like this youth pastor or something who's like, oh yeah, I'm looking for a guitar for my youth pastorship or whatever. My pastorization. And this sounds like a good deal. And I was like, all right, great. When do you want to come look at it? And he's like, I can't do this or that time. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, what about this time? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, can I come see it while you're at work? And I was like, I can't really just like leave work, because at the time I could not go out to the parking lot just whenever to show someone a guitar. So eventually, we went back and forth a bunch of times. He didn't come out and see it when he said he was going to come out and see it. And then emailed me again and was like, oh, can we set up another time for me to come see it? And so what I ended up doing was smashing the guitar and videotaping me smashing it in the parking lot to him like, fuck you. No, you've made this so difficult for me that I'd rather smash it and forego the money just to keep you from having it. It's like, you know, that story of, like, whose baby is this? Let's cut it in half. And I'm like, no, let's just stab the baby. Because fuck it. If I can't have this baby, no one can. But even worse than that, because it's like, I don't even want the baby. I just don't want you to have it at this point. Fucked up, right? So I lost, like, $40 there. But I wish I knew what episode that was on, but it was very early. And I think I put in the audio of it or something. There's a short YouTube clip online of me smashing this guitar. You can hear Alec laughing while I'm doing it. And I think that was the last guitar that I ever bought. The only other thing that's ever come up is there was a lady who came in to do a library thing where she's, like, teaching kids how to play the ukulele. And she was like, have you ever thought about playing? I mean, for her, this was like a religion. The way she was talking to me is the way that, like, church people talk to you about, like, have you heard the word? Down, 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 but down, down. Jesus Christ, he is the risen. It was like that, but she was talking about playing a tiny little guitar. And she's like, have you ever thought about taking up the ukulele? And I was like, sometimes when I'm at work and I have a better sense. There are times when I would be polite and there's times when I'm just like, nope. And that was a time where I was like, no, not really. Because I didn't want to get taken in. Because let's be honest, had I ever thought about playing the ukulele? Probably, but not seriously. I mean, I'd never thought about playing it on the level of actually doing it. I mean, I'd never made a $100 investment in a ukulele. And my mind flashes back to me smashing a guitar in the parking lot of my apartment for no other reason than to deny use of it to someone else. At personal cost, small personal cost. So when someone asks if you've ever thought about playing the ukulele, the honest answer is, well, sure, I mean, yeah, of course I thought about it, because I've thought about a lot of things that would surprise you. I mean, when it comes to me, you gotta ask, like, have I really thought about it? Because, like, have I thought about playing the saxophone? Of course! Of course I have. Have I thought about playing the trombone? Yes. The tuba? Of course. Because I'm like, every marching band needs a tuba, right? Have I thought about, like, maybe I should just buy a fucking clarinet? I knew how to play that at one time. I could play some polka. How hard could it be? And then I'm like, don't say that, because that's what gets you in trouble. So, yeah, you gotta be more specific. I mean, I've thought about a lot of things. I wrote an article a little while ago about Jonathan Franzen, about how everyone's always hating on him. And one of the things is, at one time he was like, he admitted in an interview that he was considering adopting an Iraqi war refugee child because he felt out of touch with the youth. And he's like, it was the dumbest idea I've ever had. And I was toying with it for about a week, and then my agent totally talked me out of it. And it was a good thing, because that was a terrible idea. And then everybody was, like, pissed off at him, because it's like, that's so culturally insensitive. And like, oh, you're colonizing a human being for your own gain, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, everybody, let's calm down. Because what we're getting mad at right now is we're getting mad at a guy for not doing a thing. For admitting he was going to do a thing, and he was thinking about it, and basically telling us, like, hey, here's a terrible idea I had one time. I've had some terrible ideas in my time. Some of which I did. Some of which I said on this podcast. Some of which exist in record. I wrote a fan fiction about the dudes from Contra jerking each other off in a shower after a little boy gets blown up on their Contra mission or whatever. Bill Reiser and the other guy. That's a bad idea. I was laughing because I made print versions of these books you can buy on Amazon, and they have a little space on the back you can type something, and I think that one just says, I did this, I'm sorry. And I'm like, eh, that's pretty good. That's pretty much how it works. Point being, everyone was flipping out on this guy for basically saying, here's an idea I had one time that I think is a terrible idea and didn't follow through on. And I'm like, so yeah, when you ask me if I've thought about playing the ukulele, and I'm like, listen, I've thought about adopting an Iraqi war orphan in order to get in touch with being a youth. Yeah, I've thought about some fucking weird ideas that I have not done. I'm sure at some point I thought about playing the ukulele. I'm sure I thought at some point, like, well, that looks like an easier guitar, and you could carry it around with you. And it seems like you can play pretty much the same songs as you can on guitar. I mean, you can't fucking shred Freebird or whatever. Okay, and by the way, I'm saying that now. Don't fucking send me a YouTube video, okay? Because I'm sure there's some idiot playing Freebird on ukulele. I'm sure it takes a lot of talent, and I'm sure I have zero interest in it. Ding, 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 ding. Whoa. Someone just did a hard pass on the shoulder. That was something. Where's the fire? So anyway, long, long story, much shorter. She asked, have you ever thought about playing ukulele? And I lied and said no. Because I know that I have to lie and say no. Because if I say yes, then you get the talk of, like, oh, well, let me tell you all about it, or tell you how you can make that dream a reality. When I'm like, no, no, you just asked me a question of, have I ever thought about it? My answer was yes, but I don't want to do it. I thought about watching Anaconda 2. Okay? I have the DVD. Someone donated it to the library. Did I do it? No. Have I ever thought about it? Yeah, I have. I have an embarrassingly amount. Embarrassingly amount. Whatever. An embarrassing amount of my thought process in life has gone to the question, should I watch Anaconda 2 on DVD? That's an obvious hard no, people. Obviously. I've never watched Citizen Kane. And I'm thinking about watching Anaconda 2. I'm thinking about, you know, should I watch Home Alone 3? And I've never watched Singing in the Rain. And I'm like, eh, maybe. Maybe it's time for Home Alone 3. Is that the one where they're, like, trying to steal secret Korean technology or something? Or South Korea's trying to steal technology? Electric chip? Some shit? But in this case, too, it didn't help me. Because then the lady launched into, like, she was a real... You would think, like, a ukulele teacher lady would be pretty, like, laid back about it or whatever. I mean, I'm very used to, like, the guitar teacher I had was pretty much, like... If I can string together enough sobriety to teach kids guitar, that's a win right there. And so, like with, you know, with the ukulele teacher, I kind of thought, I don't know, maybe they'll just be like guitar player mini. So she'll be like, I'm not as stoned as that idiot, but I am kind of fucking weird. I did a lot of acid in the 70s. But she was real pushy. She's like, well, we have a weekly ukulele group that meets in Denver. You should really check it out sometime. That's for adults, but it's for people of all levels and whatever. And I was like, in Denver? Like, I don't drive to Denver for anything every week. I have very good friends who live in Denver. A very dear, dear person to me lives in Denver. I don't drive to see him every week. What's he gonna think if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to Denver every week to play the fucking ukulele? Are you crazy? And like, what a terrible idea for me. Like, here's a terrible idea. Let's commit to something to do every week that you don't even know if you like. You don't even have a fucking ukulele. She did say ukuleles are provided if you don't have one. So that's something. But I'm like, yeah, if I'm gonna try something out, I don't think it's going to be the ukulele, and I don't think it's going to be in Denver. Because I'm like, well, if I wanted to try that out, don't you think I could find something closer than, like, I don't know, 90 minutes away from my home to play the ukulele? Give me a break. What a nut. But yeah, she was really trying to sell me on it, and she's like, oh, this is what it's called. And the way you get in contact with them is you, like, get on Facebook, friend it. I'm the administrator, but I allow anyone to come in. Just don't post weird stuff on there, which I was like, is this a problem that the ukulele group's having? And I was like, well, probably, because they probably had some, like, weirdo from China or something who was then just, like, posting herbal supplements or whatever. Which I only say because I spend probably 15 to 20 minutes every day crushing spam on a website, and it's basically all from the Asian region of the world, that mostly from India, which we can tell by the IP address, and mostly it's about herbal supplements. This is a real thing that's happening. But anyway, and she's just like, really, I think she was like, I think I'll see that young man again. I think he'll be shredding that ukulele in no time. And I'm like, I don't think so. Would you like to put money on it? Because I would. I would gladly put money on a bet with you regarding whether or not I will be playing the ukulele anytime soon. The ukulele. Give me a break. But yeah, that was the only recent-ish guitar thing I've had. I don't know, it's weird. I moved a guitar. I helped a friend move and moved a guitar into his house. And was like, huh. I guess, like, grown men do play the guitar. Like, I gave it up. I felt like it was a growing up step for me, but it might not have been. It might have been a regression. Because it's like, okay, well, you're a quitter and you don't want to try. But I do have a harmonica. I'd like to learn the harmonica. I think a lot of people find the harmonica annoying, which I sort of get. But I also feel like you could play the harmonica and basically I could find songs that I like and just play along with them. Does that sound crazy? Like songs that are a nice jam, then you could just like play along. You could play along with Free Bird, or you could play along with whatever. I think it's possible. I think it would be enjoyable. Enjoyable. I'm getting very radio here. But I don't know. And also the harmonica is so small. That's, I think, what's allowed it so much passage in my life. If we could use that term. The guitar was like taking up serious closet space. So it had to go. When it was like obvious I wasn't using it, it had to go. When a harmonica is not being used, it's like, I put it in my suit pocket. Just forgot about it. I'm just going to leave it in there. So there you go. The harmonious of the harmonica. But yeah, so maybe someday I'll be playing an intro to this show on the harmonica. Quack, 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 quack. And hopefully it won't sound like shit. You know, I think the harmonica too is like, I have a realistic expectation about it, which is that it's more fun to play than to hear played. And that's fine. I'm not expecting anyone to listen to me, and the harmonica is not an instrument you expect to go anywhere, right? Like, I'm not expecting to entertain people. I'm not expecting, oh God. There was too a while where this doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. Everyone just has a laptop. But there was a good while there where the Starbucks by my house especially, but it seemed like every coffee shop you go to, there's a dude in there playing a guitar. And he's not, like, playing it. He's, like, practicing his guitar. He's not good at it, but he's trying. And there was something about that I always disliked. I think it was, like, to bring it back around to writing, is sort of like me trying to write something. And this is annoying to me, too, because, okay, there's the very famous Family Guy little scene where it's like, oh, look at me, I'm screenwriting at Starbucks. Oh, me too, can we do that together and then watch each other and jerk each other off and whatever? And it's like, totally, because, like, writing in public is like jerking off in public or something. But I totally disagree with that, because I think it's like, listen, does me sitting here writing bother you? Like, why would that bother you? I'm not making any scene. I'm not, like, asking you to do anything. I'm not like, can you guys turn off the music? Or can you guys turn off your conversation because I'm trying to concentrate here? It's like, listen, I'm fucking sitting at a table. I got a laptop out. I'm typing shit. Like, what's the fucking difference? What do you care? Mind your own fucking business. How about? But the guitar, I was like, everyone can hear the guitar. And everyone has to hear the guitar. It would be like if I was editing. Sometimes when I'm editing, if I'm having trouble putting something together or I need to add the finishing touches, I read it out loud. And so it would be like if I was doing that in a coffee shop. If I was sitting there going, and then he said, da-da-da-da. And then he said, da-da-da. And everyone would be like, this guy's a fucking maniac. And I'd be like, you guys are right to dislike me right now. Because I don't like me right now. This seems very unacceptable, doesn't it? Seems like someone's made a mistake. And I think it's me. I don't think it's me. I know it's me. It's me who's made a mistake. A mistake was made, and that mistake, thy name is Peter. Anyway. So I did have some encounters. There was one guy, I remember, Spencer was his name. Because he worked at the Starbucks, and then he would go there and play his guitar. And I found that extra annoying, because I was like, why are you doing this? You work here, and then you're coming and playing your guitar? Maybe there was a lady working there that he really liked, and he was like, I'm going to impress her with my guitar skills. This is the other thing I'd really like to know. Here's a question. What percentage of guitars are purchased to impress somebody else? Like to impress a specific individual and or generally impress the, I don't know, not the opposite sex or the same sex or whoever you're pursuing, your pursued people. How many guitars, what percent of guitars are purchased for that reason? I feel like it's a lot. I feel like it's half. Maybe? Does that seem unreasonable to be like half of guitars are purchased to like basically, if you asked young men, why are you buying a guitar? Half of them would be like to get chicks or this specific chick. Doesn't seem outrageous to me. It does seem outrageous to me in as much as like, what a weird thing. Cause like, I don't think people do, well, maybe we all do that stuff. I don't know. What percent of, I mean, I guess the percent of clothes sort of like subtly bought to impress other people is like almost 100, right? It's like, well, okay, lots of them. My robe was not to impress other people for sure, because if I did that, I would be stupid and horribly misguided. But most of clothes, right? Most clothing is bought with the aim of impressing somebody somewhere somehow, right? Seems like how it goes. All right, well, that's all. I had a lot more to talk about this time somehow. Last one was a little rambly, huh? If it was a man, it would be a rambling man for sure. I didn't even talk at all about moving. We just moved. It's hell. Moving is the worst thing in the world. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's the worst thing in the world that most of us go through, like, half a dozen times. At least when your parents die, it's, like, twice. Moving is, like, infinite? Unknown? How many times? Like, who fucking knows? It's crazy. I mean, being sick? Being sick is also pretty terrible. It was funny, a friend, we were talking about sickness, and he's, like, a new dad and stuff, and so he's not been getting a lot of sleep, and he's been getting sick from his kid and stuff, and he's like, I'm like you, like, where I get sick every couple weeks or something, and then I'm really sick, and he's like, it's horrible. And I was like, I know, like, when you don't have your health, you have nothing. That's, like, been my mantra forever, is, like, when you're not healthy, like, nothing in life is good. Everything is shit. And it's true, like, you don't enjoy anything. You just kind of wish you were dead. And also, you, like, you know, you go back to work probably a little before you should. Because you're just like, oh, God, I've been gone for 2 days. Like, I gotta go back. But then you go back and you're like, I feel like garbage. Like, the days are so much easier to get through than I thought. But it's been so long since I've had to just have a day where it's like, I feel normal. That's all I really want out of life right now, and I can't have it. It's unattainable. That's an unrealistic goal for you, Pete. So anyway, thanks for listening. I've been sleeping better and healthier. That's my number one health recommendation. If you want to take health recommendations from someone who gets sick all the time, which I don't know why you would want to, but... Well, okay, maybe because it's like... Look, you can take a skin product recommendation from someone who's famous for their beauty and then be like, well, what the hell do they know? Or you could take it from someone who had terrible acne and be like, well, this improved my acne. I'm not going to say I'm cured, but it's better. As someone who got sick a lot and still gets sick sometimes, sleeping like a full 8 hours a night, like guaranteed every night, makes a huge fucking difference. In getting sick. When I was, like, for the last year, I've been sleeping better, and it's marked improvement. How do you sleep better? I don't really know. Here are the two tips I would give, though. Number one, no, I'll give three tips. Number one, you have a cutoff time. So I don't know if I believe bedtime. But, like, for me, so I want to be in bed and asleep close to midnight, right? I stop doing shit at 11. Like, whatever I'm doing, when it's 11 o'clock, I fucking turn into a pumpkin. It's like, nope, you gotta stop. No more like, oh, if I just finish this one thing or do this one thing, you're done. At 11, you're done. That helps a lot. It's surprising how much that helps, because you just get caught up in shit and you're like, oh, I'll just do one more thing. And then before you know it, it's 11:45. Also, it helps because then you've got that full hour to, like, get ready for bed. Brush your teeth, do this, do that. I might let myself do something like the dishes. But if you kind of have that time to chill out and get ready for bed, then you'll be ready. Number two, and it's a horrible one, but it works, which is like, get up at the same time every day. It sounds dumb, and then you're like, but then it's Saturday, I don't want to get up. And it's like, but if you get up at the same time every day, you'll just start doing it naturally, and then you'll feel better. And then it's much easier to fall asleep. And then number three, I guess, is like, this is very basic. Easy to say, hard to do. But you gotta make sleep a priority in your life. I feel like we live in a world where it's very easy to not prioritize sleep. And like, we reward people who are like, I pulled an all-nighter and did this and whatever. Not a good thing to do. Don't do it. Don't reward yourself. I learned from the Valve Employee Handbook, which is like, we don't value crunch time at this company because crunch time means that you didn't plan well. And crunch implies that something went wrong during the project and the planning. So we don't want crunch time. We want to avoid crunch time as much as possible. And don't have like a badge of honor there. So there you go. I think it's just like, make it a priority. Make it important. If you're like somebody who, hey, if you take a birth control pill, that's probably something that you put a certain amount of importance on, right? Like, you're like, I don't just not take it. I don't not do that. Or if you eat lunch every day, it's probably something that you prioritize. You're like, I don't just not eat lunch. Or eating every day. I mean, you don't just not eat during a day. Sleep's got to be up there. If you possibly can, you got to just be like, you know what, sleeping 8 hours is like a priority for me. It's something that's important to me, and it really helps me overall. There you go. That's like our little sleep lesson after I just complained about playing the ukulele for 20 minutes. All right. We'll see you next time.